Recently, we began a new series, and that series is called Kingdom People. And the kingdom does not refer to something like the United Kingdom, the UK, but it refers to the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, and what people ought to look like in this kingdom as we live out our lives. Well, last week we learned that kingdom people are those who repent and those who humble themselves before God. Well, today the key word is going to be trust. Kingdom people trust in God. If you'd open your Bibles this morning to Matthew, the book of Matthew chapter 6, we're going to begin in verse 25, a very familiar passage, I'm sure, to many of you. And if you'd like to follow along, you don't have a Bible with you today, please, there's some under the chairs, and you can find Matthew 6 on page 685, if you'd like to follow along. And if you don't have a Bible, please take that Bible home with you and use it. And if you know somebody who doesn't have a Bible, please give them a Bible. There's nothing better that we can own than the Word of God. Well, to help us focus on some of the truths that we're going to look at today, we're going to use that word trust. If you look in your bulletins, there's a little outline there with the letters T-R-U-S-T. Hopefully that'll help us as we go through this passage, and feel free to jot down anything that may help you today to trust in God. Let's look at the passage again. Jesus is speaking here, and he says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Well, the first letter that we'll look at today is the letter T, and T is going to stand for today. A key component in trusting God is this, is that we know that today is today and tomorrow is tomorrow. There's only today that we're given. Tomorrow we're not guaranteed. That doesn't mean that we don't plan for the future. We don't plan for tomorrow. But the truth is, we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. Therefore, let's just live really in today and just really think about today, is what Jesus is getting at. Notice how Jesus speaks about tomorrow. In verse 30, he says, "If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire." Now, Jesus had just been talking about the lilies of the field and how beautiful they are. Any of you have any lilies that grow in your garden or around your house? I know we've got some by the parsonage there on the corner of the house, these nice big orange lilies that come up, and we've got some on the other corner, pink ones, and they're just beautiful to just gaze at and to look at. They're a display of God's beauty, of God's creation. How about tulips? Anybody got any tulip fans here? No? Anybody got flowers in there? There we go. How about roses? Anybody? We got some roses. They're just beautiful to look at. How about just a field of wildflowers? Have you ever driven down a farm country road or the highway and you just see this field of wildflowers? And you know what? No man went out there and planted the seeds carefully and landscape tied the edges, and he doesn't go out there and weed it. It's just beautiful. It just is. It was God who put it there, and it's beautiful to behold. And Jesus says, you know, all that beauty, though it's great to our eyes, it's one day going to end. It's one day going to come to an end. Everything, Jesus says, will be subject to fire. Everything that we see in the human world, not only the beautiful flowers and the trees, but even things like Jupiter and Mars, that will be subject to fire as well. The Bible is very clear about that. 2 Peter 3:10 says this, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything in it will be laid bare." The earth will be burnt up as well. So what should we make of what Jesus is saying? He's saying this, as long as the world endures, as long as you get up and you see the flowers and all that, know this, that God is able to take care of you. He's able to make sure you got some clothes on your back if you are his child. Don't worry, just trust him, is what Jesus is saying. And while we are to trust in God, Jesus never says this, that because you trust him, your life is not going to have any troubles. Jesus does not sugarcoat the realities of life. Look at what he says in verse 34. He says, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself." Listen to what he says. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen? Can I agree with that, right? Each day has enough, just today has enough trouble for me. Forget about tomorrow. That's not even there yet. Just today is filled with trouble. But yet, how many of us, I'll raise my own hand, how many of us think that by orchestrating our life in such a way that we can escape trouble, or if we just can build this wall so that no troubles come into our lives, then we'll have a worry-free life. You ever tried doing that? Just orchestrating your life in such a way? That was the trouble with Pumbaa and Timon. Is that his name? Timon or something like that, that little cat guy. If you've seen The Lion King, anybody seen The Lion King? Yeah. And what was their philosophy? They had a problem-free philosophy. If they could just escape all the problems and get to this problem-free place, then they could sing Hakuna Matata, right? It means no worries for the rest of our days. This was their thinking, and we as humans tend to do the same thing. If we can just isolate ourselves, build this trouble-free life, then there'll be no worries. But Jesus says it's impossible. Trouble is going to come. He says in John 16:33, "In this world you will have trouble." You know, even if we escape to some tropical paradise island, guess what? We can't escape ourselves, can we? And with ourselves comes trouble as well, doesn't it? So we're always going to have trouble. And so, to help us trust in God, listen to what Jesus says. He says, "Your heavenly Father knows what you need." What beautiful words. Your heavenly Father knows what you need today. That's a good thing. Jesus says that, you know, God is not some cosmic force just off in a distance, aloof, that doesn't know about you. No, he's intimate. He knows exactly what you need. He knows the number of hairs upon your head. He knows you, he loves you, and he is able to provide for you. How many of you young people that are here today, I'm going to pick on Adam, he's new today. I'll pick on you. Is that okay, Adam? Can I pick on you? Are you worried about what you're going to have for dinner tonight? Are you worried about that? You do? You get a little worried? Why do you worry? Why do you worry? Do you wonder, like, what it's going to be? Pizza? Or are they going to feed you, like, something you don't like? Or are you worried that you're not going to have dinner? Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, just the same thing over and over again. I know. And we kind of worry about that, right? But you know, Jesus here is not talking about whether or not we're going to have hot dogs, hamburgers, or Chinese, right? He's talking about worrying whether or not there will be food for us come tomorrow. I can't imagine Jeremiah, my little three-year-old, you know, going to bed at night and just tossing and turning because he doesn't know if there's going to be food tomorrow. He just doesn't even worry about that. And I know there's some exceptions. Some people may have true worries about whether or not there will be food. But I think for most of us, growing up, we would say, you know, we just didn't worry about it. My family, we weren't rich, you know, that, and sometimes things were tight. But I didn't worry about whether or not I was going to have food. I knew that mom or dad would do what they had to do to get her done. Right? Get her done. We knew that there'd be food there for us. We just didn't worry about that. They may have worried, probably more than us kids did, but as children of a heavenly Father, God says to us, hey, I'm big enough. I'm your big daddy. I'm able to get her done. Therefore, don't worry. Don't worry. I'll provide for you. I'm able to do that. Well, the second letter that we'll look at today is the letter R, and R will stand for rest. Jesus says in Matthew 11:28, he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Once again, Jesus doesn't sugarcoat the realities of life. He says you're going to have a weariness. You're going to have burden in your life. These things are going to come. He doesn't say, trust in me and you'll have no more burdens and cares. But he does say this, trust in me and I will be there with you in the midst of that, doesn't he? He says, come to me. And he says, learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart. In other words, I will humble myself. I'll get to right where you are. I'll know what you're going through, and I'll walk through it with you. I'm able to take those burdens and make them lighter for you. I'm able to carry them so that this burdensome road is not so burdensome with me by your side. And this is what Jesus tells us. This is the words of Christ. How many of you have ever said this? Boy, God really had to smack me in the head with a 2x4 to teach me that. You ever say that? You ever say that? And maybe it may feel like we're getting hit by a 2x4, but that is not the school of Christ, is it? Jesus says, I am gentle and I'm humble in heart. I'm not going to be beside you always whacking you with a 2x4, but I'm going to carry your load. I'm going to get in the yoke with you and carry that and carry you through the trial. And this is how Jesus teaches us, and this is how we are to come and trust and rest in Christ. One of the songs that we sing here, we sang it today, is a beautiful song, I Belong to You. And there's a neat line in that song. It says, because in your arms I can what? Rest my head. Just a beautiful picture of God, I'm weary, God, I'm tired, but you know what? I know that your arms are strong, you're my daddy, and I can just put my head in your arms and it's going to be okay. I know it, God, because that's who you are. I know, God says to us this, I know you may be weary and burdened, but it's going to be all right. I'm here and I will always be here. And even if tomorrow heaven and earth pass away, I will be here. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Third letter, U, will stand for undivided. How many of you can have your mind racing in all these different directions so that you have trouble focusing on Christ? Anybody ever get there? Yeah. You're thinking about all these different things. Your mind is not undivided. It's not a single devotion to Christ. It's all over the place. Sometimes we can do that. It's kind of the picture that we get of Christ, who says about the pagan, he says, you know, they're running around. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? They're consumed with those things rather than focusing upon God. Maybe, again, hard for us to relate to what Jesus is saying, simply because in our day there is a greater abundance of things, there's a greater abundance of food and clothes than the people that Jesus is speaking to here. Because the people that Jesus is speaking to here are those who may have only had one piece of clothing. And that piece of clothing is getting worn out and they're worried. You know what, if this wears out, what am I going to wear? These were the people who really didn't know what was going to be for food tomorrow because they didn't know if they'd have any. So they were worried, am I going to be able to eat tomorrow? Our worry is what? Again, what is it going to be? We stand in our closets and worry about what out of the 10 shirts, which one we're going to pick out to wear. It's a different, it's not that worry that Jesus is speaking of. This past week, I confess, I worried a little bit about my clothes. This week, my son Jordan, had a basketball banquet. So we got the notice. We signed up to go to the banquet. But it didn't say what we're supposed to wear to this banquet. I had never been to that kind of banquet. I didn't know what we're supposed to wear. So I said, Jordan, when you go to school on Tuesday, just ask around, ask the coach, ask somebody, find out, you know, what we're supposed to wear to this thing. So he comes home and he says, the word on the street, Dad, is this, semi-casual. I'm thinking, oh, great. semi-casual. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean, like, if casual is sweatpants and a t-shirt, I can go in sweatpants and a polo shirt? Would that be semi-casual? Or if dress up is a suit and tie, is semi-casual just a shirt and tie? I was in a big dilemma. I didn't know what to do, so I put on khaki pants and a sweater. And then I brought along a tie and a shirt to keep in my car just in case, you know, people were a little bit more, because I wanted to, quote, fit in. Well, we got there, we pulled up to the Holiday Inn, and thankfully a parent got there just before us, so we got to scope it out, and the dad got out of the car, and I said, look, Jordan, what's he wearing? Nope, no tie, good, yes, no tie, good. I feel good. There'll be at least two of us now that don't have a tie in, but I still didn't have a deep peace. So as we approached the doorway, I look in the doorway, and I see the first person I see has a suit and tie on. Oh no. But it was Coach Schaff, the coach of the varsity team. So I said, well, he's kind of supposed to dress up. He'll be up in front. That's kind of like the pastor on a Sunday. It's okay. So I kept looking around, and there were lots of guys with just, you know, casual sweaters or just open collars. A few had ties on, but I could sit down and enjoy the banquet now because I wasn't worried about that. All that means nothing, because that's not the worry that Jesus is talking about. He's talking about, again, the worry about, God, are you going to provide? That's the worry. God, are you going to provide? Well, our fourth letter is the letter F. S. I'm having a good time today. S. And that'll stand for seek. Verse 33. Again, a very familiar verse. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. There's a lot we could say about that verse, but I just want to look at it from a different angle. I want to talk about what this verse does not mean. I want to bring up two false teachings that you may hear out of this verse. Number one is this, is that if we are a child of God, then we can just basically sit back, do nothing, and God is going to give us our daily bread or our daily needs. That is not a right thing to take out of this. Why? Because there's a condition, isn't there? Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God. And what? And then all these things will be added to you as well. So there's a condition, the idea of seeking first the kingdom of God. Part of seeking first the kingdom of God is seeking out what his word says. And as you open up your Bible, you'll see it says this, if a man shall not work, he shall not eat. Again, and there may be circumstances where you're out of work. That's not what it's saying. It's saying this, don't be lazy. Don't just sit back and expect handouts like you deserve it. And you got it coming to you. This is what Jesus is saying. It's funny, I get calls from time to time. People will call up and ask the church to help them out. And sometimes people will really be demanding. And they'll have this attitude. They'll say, because you are a church, and because I, quote, believe in God, then you owe me. I don't care if you go without church service this week, shut the lights down, whatever. You need to give me what I want. And often it's not needs, it's what they want. And it's just difficult sometimes to handle that and to how to know what to do. But the primary purpose of the church is not to hand out, but to hold out. The primary purpose of the church is to hold out the word of life, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying with the other hand we don't try to meet needs. And as a church family, we have total strangers have called and we've tried to help meet their needs. We've done that. But understand this, our primary purpose is to hold out the word of God. With a motive, as we help, that they'll come to know Christ. That's our motive for giving. And if the physical needs or the trying to feed the world gets ahead of the gospel, then we've lost our focus, haven't we? The gospel needs to be one step ahead of helping. Another false teaching is this. Seek first the kingdom of God, and God will give you every little thing your heart desires. Let me add a word there. Every little thing your greedy heart desires. Perhaps you've seen guys on TV who will stand in front of the TV set or not TV set, we're watching the TV set, they're in front of the cameras, and they'll have $1,000 suits on, and they'll have their diamond rings and their $500 watches, and they'll say, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things can be added to you as well. In other words, if you're pursuing God, then you will get everything you want. Every financial thing you want, it's yours. Name it, claim it, it's yours. Is this the context of what Jesus is speaking of? He says all these things in reference to what? Two things, food and clothing. Not diamond rings, not mansions, but your basic needs. Seek first the kingdom of God, and God will give you those needs. Our final letter will be the letter T. And that letter will stand for try. Try. In order for trust to be a reality, we have to try it. We have to do it. We have to experience it. It's one thing to say, I trust. It's another thing to experience trust, to go through the times of testing and then to trust in God. Maybe some of you have seen illustrations on trust before. Josh, I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you trust me?
Sometimes.
In this moment, do you trust me? He's tough. I didn't tell him I was going to do this, so I should have warned him ahead of time. If I were to call you up here and have you stand on the stage, turn around backwards, and fall back, do you believe that I would catch you? Do you trust me?
Yeah.
Okay, come on up. Come on up. Okay, I want you to stand up here. I want you to face that way. Okay, and I want you to take the next T plunge, okay? And you're going to believe and you're going to trust that I'm going to catch you on the count of three. Ready? One, two, three. Oh, I don't know. That was cheap. You jumped. Oh, I see. He was jumping just in case. That wasn't total trust. The nesty plunge is just going back like this. But you know, that's what God wants in our lives. Absolute trust, not the jumping thing. Just laying back and trusting. And I don't know where all of you are at today, but it'd be safe to say that there's one area in your life and in my life that God is saying to us, you know what, Eric, you know what, Bill, Sue, whoever you are, I'm asking you to trust me in this area. And what I want you to do is just let go, take your hands off the wheel and just lay back and trust me that I'm able to meet your needs. I'm able to provide. If it's a trial that's headed your way, then I'm able to get you through it. I'm always going to be there with you. It's one thing to say, I trust. It's another thing to experience that trust, isn't it? Do you trust me a little more now or no? Okay. Maybe I'll give you another shot later. For those of you who have trusted in Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you know what? You have experienced trust. You've experienced what it is to believe that Jesus died for you on the cross and that your sins are gone. They've been forgiven. You're cleansed. You've been set free. And you have a relationship with God. And you've experienced that. You've trusted in Christ. But perhaps today there's some of you who have never taken that step of faith. You've never taken that plunge and just trusted in God for your salvation. One of the most difficult things for us as humans to receive is this. It is grace. It's grace. And yet it is only through grace, through the gift of Jesus, that any of us can be forgiven and have a relationship with Christ. How many of you have ever received a gift at Christmas time from someone and you weren't expecting it? And you didn't buy them anything and boom, all of a sudden they gave you something. Kind of awkward, isn't it? How do you respond to that? Some of us, if it's a couple days before Christmas, we'll run out to the store and we'll get a gift for them and kind of dishonestly say, hey, I've been meaning to get you a gift. Merry Christmas, right? Merry Christmas. Why is that? Why do we respond that way? Because we have trouble receiving grace. And ultimately, it is pride that gets in the way. But yet the Bible says that grace is what we need most. The book of Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9 says this, for by grace are you saved through faith. And even that faith is not of yourself, it is the gift of God so that no one can boast. It's not by works so that no one can boast. You see, if it were by works, then I could say, you know, I'm a little better than John, God, so I deserve to be in heaven. No, it's not by works at all. It's totally of grace. It's totally of receiving the gift of Christ, embracing him as your Lord and Savior. Jesus said this, unless you repent and humble yourself, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And you may ask, how do I do that? Well, it begins by understanding this, that we are sinners, that our sin has alienated us, has separated us from God. And God punishes sin. He's holy. And even if we have a little dirt on us or a whole lot of dirt on us because of our sin, you know what? We all need to be totally cleansed. We need to be totally forgiven. And that only comes one way, through the cross of Christ, through the blood of Christ. So God says to you today, if you've never trusted in Christ, then do an about face. Turn around, face the cross, lay back, and totally trust that Jesus is able to forgive you and cleanse you and give you a new life. And today, if you've never done that, then I urge you, I plead that you would do that, that you would receive the gift of Jesus Christ, grace, receive grace in your life, humble yourself and say, you know what, I can't do it. I can't fix my life. I can't be good enough to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's only through the goodness and the righteousness of Christ. Therefore, I'm going to cling to Jesus. I'm going to believe in Jesus. I'm going to hope in Jesus Christ. Do that today if you haven't. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your awesome work of grace. Lord, if it was up to us, we'd come up with some great scheme and some great plan on how to be saved. It's all about us, but Lord, you make it all about Christ and his grace and his sacrifice. Jesus, thank you for being a substitute, for standing in our place. When we deserved punishment and hell and death, Jesus, you took that upon yourself. And Jesus, I pray that each one here today would truly know you as their Lord and Savior, that they would not just know you about you in their head, but they would have taken that step of faith and have experienced the transformation that you bring in their lives. Holy Spirit, work now in the hearts of those who are here. For those who are children of God and who know you, Lord, help us to trust you. We confess that we can be so dependent on ourselves at times, and Lord, we just need you to gently and lovingly come alongside and show us the way and be our strength. Lord, help us to do that. And we ask all of these things in Jesus' name, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.